Chapter 6. Supreme Merit of Dedication and Jubilation. However much merit the hosts of disciples may beget, associated with giving, morality, and meditational development, but if a bodhisattva rejoices with one single thought, there would, by comparison, be no mass of merit in all the hosts of the disciples. The range of jubilation. If we take the niyutas of kotis of Buddhas, who have gone by in the past period of time, and those who just now abide in endlessly many thousands of kotis of Buddha fields, and also those saviors of the world who, having gone to parinirvana, will demonstrate the jewel of Dharma for the sake of the complete extinction of suffering. If we consider the merit of those jhanas during the period beginning with the first production of the thought of the foremost enlightenment until the time of the extinction of the good Dharma of the guides, and the Dharmas connected with the perfections, and also the Buddha Dharmas, and also the merit of the offspring of the Buddhas and of the disciples, be they in training or adepts, with outflows or without. Having heaped it all up, the bodhisattva rejoices in it and turns it all over to the enlightenment which is linked with the wheel of the world. True and false turning over. When in one who turns over there proceeds the perception of a thought, or if the turning over of the perception of enlightenment involves the perception of a being, established in perception, false views, and thought, it is tied by the triple attachment. It does not become turned over to those who apprehend it. But when he thus cognizes, these dharmas are extinct and stopped, and wherein they are turned over, that is also extinct. Nor is ever anywhere a dharma turned over into a dharma. Then it does become turned over in one who thus considers wisely. When he makes a sign, he does not turn over to enlightenment. But if he turns to it as the signless, that becomes turned over into enlightenment. Just as though food mixed with poison were good to eat, so has the taking of pure dharmas as a basis been spoken of by the jhana. Therefore, thus should one train in turning over, as the jhanas wisely know that wholesome root, its class as it is, its origins as they are, its characteristics as they are. Thus do I rejoice in that wholesome root. Thus do I turn it over, and thus turning merit over into enlightenment. He does not upset the Buddha, one who preaches what the jhana has taught. As many as there are in the world bodhisattvas who lean on a basis, all of them surpasses the hero who turns over in this way. Chapter 7. Perfect wisdom guides the other perfections. How can those niyutas of kotis of born blind, who are without a guide, who are not conversant with the way, find an entrance to the city? Without wisdom, these five perfections are eyeless. Those who are without the guide are unable to experience enlightenment. When they are taken hold of by wisdom, then, having gained the eye, do they get that designation, i.e. perfection. It is like a religious painting of a deity or a saint, which is complete except for the eyes. Only after the eyes are painted in does one get one's fee. The attitude to dharmas and to the self. When one who develops wisdom to the end does not seize on the least dharma, conditioned or unconditioned, dark or bright. Then one comes to speak in the world of the perfection of wisdom, which is like space, wherein nothing real whatsoever is established. When he thinks, I course in the wisdom of the jhanas, I will set free niyutas of beings touched by many ills. This bodhisattva is one who imagines the notion of beings, and this is not the practice of wisdom, the foremost perfection. Faith in the perfection of wisdom. The bodhisattva who has observed this foremost perfection, when in the past he served the Buddhas, is learned and does not doubt. As soon as he has heard it, he will again recognize the teacher, and he will swiftly understand the peaceful calm of enlightenment. Though in the past he has honored millions of Buddhas and served them, if, without faith in the jhana's perfection of wisdom, hearing of it, he will cast it away, one of small intelligence. After he cast it away, he will go to the Avisi hell, and no one can save him. Therefore, have faith in this mother of all the jhanas. If you wish to experience the utmost Buddha cognition, let him be like a merchant who has traveled to the treasure island and who, having lost his goods, would nevertheless again return to it. Chapter 8. The Meaning of Purity. The purity of form should be known from the purity of the fruit. From the purity of form and fruit is the purity of all knowledge. The purity of all knowledge and of the fruit and the purity of form, as with the sameness of the space element, they are not broken nor cut apart. Having transcended what belongs to the triple world, the bodhisattvas, although their defilements are removed, exhibit their rebirth. Although freed from decay, illness, and death, they exhibit decease. This is the perfection of wisdom in which course the constantly wise. This world is attached to the mud of name and form. The wheel of birth and death revolves, similar to a wind wheel. Having cognized the revolving world as like a snare for wild beasts, the wise roam about similar to the birds in space. He who, coursing perfectly pure, does not course in form, nor in consciousness, perception, feeling, or will, thus coursing, he shuns all attachments. Freed from attachments, he courses in the wisdom of the Suggathas.